The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father, I ask again for help this evening. Please help me. Help me, I pray. Help me. I submit myself totally to your spirit. Even as I come under the authority of your sent servant in this place, I pray, help me, O God. Help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the morning, I was able to just talk about more like a history to tell us where we are coming from and why the Lord is doing things the way He's doing things. So that we can also have the kind of heart that is required of us in this season to be able to receive all that the Lord is doing, because there's a whole lot the Lord is doing. Now, when I say there's a whole lot the Lord is doing, is one thing the Lord is doing, salvation. My Lord is the King of old, walking salvation in the midst of the earth. One work that God is doing right now is salvation. Now, we can look at it from different sides, see, because we can't, see it standing in one place. So the Lord sometimes moves us here, moves us there. And I believe in this convention, He's making us to see the morning star as something which we have to understand that is not just a team for a conference, a team for the convention, but is an agenda, an eternal agenda, which He is, heaven is actually doing presently. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we can understand that one thing that God, heaven is, intending to do, or they have already begun to do, is to raise stars. I remember I was sharing with, I think I mentioned it while we were talking, one of the days I was just praying. Just praying in tongues. And then I prayed and then spoke in tongues. After a while, then words began to roll out of my mouth. And the words were, stars are falling. Stars are falling. Stars are falling. Now, stars are falling, really. And the reason why stars are falling is because some people are going up. So your rising is the fall of stars. In other words, stars won't fall until stars arise. Amen. So God raising us, God raising you, is actually the fall of stars. And if stars are falling in that manner, then it means that stars are also going up. Amen. Amen. It means that stars are also going up. Because the Lord, while I was praying, the thing also rolled out from my mouth also about stars going up. And I want to say, I believe so much that it is a season that we are in. Can we quickly turn our Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 12? Chapter 12 from verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Now, in other words, he's saying that it's in this time of trouble that your people shall be delivered. Now, we can use that word deliverance, because of the context that is being talked about here. Daniel, I want you to understand how prophecies are. Daniel was being spoken to because he was seeking to know, like our daddy said, That was in the morning. He was seeking to know things about Israel, that is the nation, but God had something in mind about the whole earth, about mankind, because salvation is to all of mankind. It is not just to the Jews. Amen. Though it might be first with the Jews, but it's also to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So when he was talking, seeking, the Lord had to unveil to him a program. And then in the Lord unveiling it, because that's how prophecy is, sometimes the Lord can be addressing one thing and then he is touching other things. Have you ever seen it in the scripture? He can be addressing this, and while he's addressing, he can be addressing the prince of Tyre, the king of Tyre, the physical man on the throne, and then he's using it to actually address a spirit. Now, if you look at the man, some of the things that were said concerning that prince, if you look at that man, you won't find it in that man, or you might not find some of the prophetic utterances that were made being fulfilled in the life of that man literally. But it is actually being fulfilled in the spirit, because there you see him switching into the spirit and talking about things in the spirit, addressing things in the spirit. Hallelujah. So when he mentioned your people shall be delivered, it wasn't just talking about Jews only that shall be delivered. It's talking about all those that are the people of God, the Israel of God. The Israel of God in the spirit. Amen. Because there is the Israel of God in the spirit. Just as there's also Jews. Paul mentioned about Jews in the, he said, talked about the true Jew. We are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit and not after the flesh. So we have no confidence in the flesh. So he was mentioning the real thing that God actually, when you hear everything that you see with Israel, there's actually a way it applies to the whole of mankind. Hallelujah. The 12 tribes of Israel, when God divided the whole nation according to the 12 tribes of Israel in the days of Peleg. So when you're seeing the 12 tribes of Israel, which Daddy was saying they are all stars, it means that in the realm of the spirit, there is a location for all of mankind shared into 12. 12 tribes. It's not more than 12. It's 12. So I also want to believe you are mentioning about the angels. I believe that their own tribes are is also 12. God does things in patterns. God is not scattered. God is not haphazard. I believe there are tribes in the realm of the angelic. And I also want to believe they are 12. Amen. It's Bible. It's just understand how God does things. Amen. So when God, I will say that everything you find being mentioned about Israel, it also has its wider range of implication, meaning that God wasn't just talking to them. God was also talking to all of man. So when he said, thy people shall be delivered, meaning salvation, if I put it that way, will come to your people. Salvation will come to your people in the time of this great trouble. I say it and I continue to say it. One of the things that the Lord will do, and he's already doing, is that he's going to allow this system, the systems of this world, to heat up. Because if it doesn't, men will not hear this gospel that you and I are hearing. So it has already started heating up. Men won't hear. It will only take trouble. Tribulation. Because here I talked about such trouble, such as never was since the nation was. God is going to allow the earth to be troubled. Make no mistake about it. is already going on, as a matter of fact. And it's going to keep on getting heated up, because the people, the ransom of the Lord, must return back to Zion. Nothing will make them return back to Zion if things are just going normally the way it is going. You know, you go to your school, you graduate when you're supposed to graduate, then you get a job, and then when you work and things are okay, and then you are being blessed, and then you marry, you have your children, then, you know, your children's children and your children's children, and then everything is just going on well, and then God has an agenda. We will not pay attention to the gospel of salvation until these things are troubled. So that's why Jesus will say, when you begin to see these things, lift up your eyes and see, because your redemption draweth nearer. Your time of redemption is nearer. I love that. At that time shall thy people be delivered, even everyone that shall be found written in the book. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Amen. Like I said in the morning, there are books. There are books. There are books where names are written. Now, when we say book right now, don't be thinking of the jotter you have right there. Because somebody else will look at you and say, no, you don't even understand where the world is going to. There was a time that the Reverend Olabode was talking about, you know, the first computer, how big it was, and it was only 5 megabytes. And then right now, that's a book. Book is just actually where things are stored. So right now you can have a whole library just in a, you know, in a pen. A whole library. So books, when we say books, I want you to think in the spirit. I want you to think of record in the spirit. Amen. I believe this book is a spirit. I believe this book is a spirit. And in there are names that are written. Let me just go further, because we are taking a journey. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Many shall wake. Many that sleep in the dust shall wake. Now, that sleeping in the dust is not just those who died only. Many of the people of God are asleep. How? Dust is flesh. Many are at ease with flesh. They are sleeping. To sleep is to be comfortable. Because you can't sleep if you are troubled. To sleep is to be comfortable, to have adapted, to make flesh your abode. To stay, you know, at par with flesh, to the point where you rest in the arm of flesh. But he said, in that time of trouble, many shall awake. I'm going to verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So you can say, as stars everlasting. And they that be wise shall shine as brightness. So you can see two things are mentioned here. One is firmament, and the other one is star. Amen. Are you following me? Firmament and what again? Can I hear you say that? And then star. Firmament. Now that they are all heavenly bodies, as it were. None of them is earthly bodies. They are all heavenly. But the firmament and the stars in the firmament, they are all heavenly bodies. Jesus told them, rejoice. Amen. Don't rejoice because demons are subject to you, but rejoice because what? Your name is written in heaven. So what makes a man a firmament, or what makes a man a star, is to be written up. So there's a book for the, you are talking about this, there's a book for the celestial, and there's a book for terrestrial. Now, what will determine where your name will be written is actually where you have awoken to, where you are found. That's actually where your name is written. So Jesus was telling them, you see, right now, demons are subject to you. You're rejoicing because you're able to cast out demons. You're able to do miracles. And that's where the church is presently, isn't it? That's where everybody wants to be right now. Amen. And I love that. It is good to see miracles happening in our midst. But much more. He said, rejoice, for your name is written in heaven. He said, and he now turned and said, I behold Satan fall as what? Lightning. That lightning is actually a star that is swiftly descending. Oh, see God's program. A star that is swiftly, like a comet, swiftly descending. And the reason why he's descending is because some people rose up. You know, the Lord is not the one to bring him down. How many of us understand that? It sounds somehow. The Lord is not the one to bring him down. We are the ones to bring him down. And to bring him down means your name, because he is a rebel holder. He's holding the air. He does not want any ascension. He doesn't want anybody to cross. But thanks be to God. Amen. That is where the Lord beats him hands down. Because the stars, you mentioned it, the stars that God is raising is not stars after the present order. They are stars of the world to come. So handling the air of this present is just but a little thing for them. They are stars of the world to come. Why? Because they have things of the world to come. You know, that's the things they are giving to us. Things of the world to come. Things to come. High priest of good things to come is giving things to come. He is officiating as the high priest of things to come, because there are things to come. Things to come are the things that makes up for the world to come. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I behold Satan fall as lightning, because some people are rising as lightning. Swiftly rising. How? Because they are doing things, that will make them rise swiftly. That's why the reason for the book of Revelation is for things that must be quickly, swiftly done, shortly done. Meaning, the Lord is going to be empowering his people to do these things shortly. That doing it shortly, he said, a short work with the Lord do and cut it short in righteousness. Now, that doing it quickly is what gives you that ascension as a star. Now, what I saw in the spirit is that's why he's fighting tooth and nail, but there will arise an army. There will arise an army. It's going to be something that he wouldn't know how it happened. Just like he didn't know how it happened when Jesus rose up from the dead. You know, he was shocked. He was shocked because it is not according. This is something beyond him. He thinks he knows some laws. He thinks he knows some things about the realm of the spirit. But here he's seeing that there are things he doesn't know. Amen. But all of a sudden, one came out from hell that nobody comes out. Nobody has gone there and came out. Nobody goes there and comes out. Because hell is a dominion. Nobody goes there. You can't come out. But somebody went there. He didn't just come out alone. Glory. He didn't just come out alone. He took captivity captive. When he was coming out, he was coming out with Abraham. He was coming out with Isaac. He was coming out with Jacob, because they were all in the bosom of Abraham there in hell. Amen. Amen. He was coming out with David. You know, I just imagine when I was reading about Simeon, you know, that held him as a baby and blessed him. Simeon going back, you know, he said, "Let our servant depart in peace." And then he would have gone back to announce them that he's here. He has come. The salvation of Israel is up there. Very soon, he's coming for us. So he didn't rise up alone. And that day, Satan would have been shocked seeing a great number of people being led, and he could not do anything. He was paralyzed. And that is going to happen again. Because many that sleep in the dust, souls that sleep in the dust, because it's more of souls arising. Souls that sleep in the dust will arise, and he will be seeing you rising, and he cannot do anything. Wow. That's the power of the gospel. That's what he's set to do. And that is what he's doing. Amen. Let's get to that verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as brightness of the firmament. So it mentioned two. One is brightness of the firmament. Brightness of the firmament. So the first is to become brightness of the firmament. You can't be a star if you have not attained brightness of the firmament. Now, what will enable you to attain brightness of the firmament is to be wise. Amen. Is to be wise. Now, when I say wise, it's not the wisdom of this world. It's not the wisdom of the princes of this world. Amen. It's the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God has ordained unto our glory. That's the wisdom that is being talked about here. Amen. You have to be wise. When I say wise, it's not wisdom that man can define. It's actually, when you say wisdom, wise, Jesus, our Lord, is the wisdom of God. So wisdom is a being. Wisdom is a constitution. Wisdom is a framing of a person. Meaning there's a kind of person that can be called brightness. As against darkness. Darkness is also a firmament. I don't know whether you understand me. Darkness itself is a firmament. Because darkness is a dominion. It's also ruling. So when you say brightness, firmament, brightness of a firmament, is the first dominion of stars. That's the first place you come to. You have to become bright as the firmament. Now, our daddy Reverend Busi went to Psalm 19 this morning. That was actually where the Lord laid in my heart to begin from. But when he began it, I said, okay, thank God. We are all going there. Let's go to Psalm 19. One thing you must understand, like he said, God, you can see that God has actually preached his gospel in the stars. God kept his gospel in the stars. God kept his gospel in creation before he wrote it in the book. Creation was declaring what he was doing. Amen. We can't see it. But there was a time when men saw it. In the days of Job, they didn't have Bible like we do. In the days of Abraham, they didn't have Bible like we do. But constellations, stars. We are telling them stories. Now, the only reason why that was possible was in that season, God permitted it for men to see it. Now, you know, it was in the book of Job that they began to talk about Pleiades. Can you bind the sweet influence of Pleiades? Can you count? Can you lose the belt of Orion? You know, those were, how did they know those things? They didn't have telescope. They didn't have, with all our telescope, we can't tell the heavenlies like that we are doing with all our science. We think we have science. This man had knowledge of the Almighty. That was a season on the earth. What book did they read? Nature. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world. From creation of the world. So from creation. So the essence of creation was actually to tell his story. That's the reason for creation. And creation will still tell this story. And finish this story. Amen. Because if creation does not fulfill that, then creation can go away. This present creation has to fulfill its cost. Its cost before it can be taken away. So he must finish telling the story. And I want to say it again, that the story, we are going to begin to hear it again. Amen. I know you're wondering, what do I mean by that? You're going to begin to hear the story. Your understanding. All of a sudden, understandings will begin to come to you. Because that was how those men knew God. They knew God. Understandings came to them. Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So things that are made could tell of eternal power, which is everlasting life, and tell also of Godhead. Wow. Things that are made. So things that are made are actually book. So you can now understand what Daniel was talking about. Those who were written in the book. So every star that you see, like you're saying, sir, every star that you see, you know, as you're seeing star, is actually talking about a people. That's why when God was promising Abraham, he told him, he said, your children, your seed shall be like the stars, innumerable. Balaam took up his lamentation. He said, a star shall arise from Jacob. A star shall arise from Jacob. So you can see, as you're seeing these stars, they actually, can I tell you something? Your own day dear. Amen. There's a star of you there. That's what Paul was actually saying, that I may know, even as I am known. As I'm known is how, as I am written. I'm not yet where I am as I am written, but I will get there one day. I will know as I am known, because there is a way I am known in the heart of the Father. He stored it up in the stars. You see, as the stars are innumerable, they can actually give every person on earth one star, and there will still be more left. Hey, I mean, they'll dash you, Reverend. They'll dash you one star. It's yours. Amen. You know, some stars are actually diamond. It's not all of them that is a burning gas. Some are just solid material. Amen. But you see, they are all telling stories of God. They are actually where God wrote things. God wrote things in the star. But when he was writing, when he was using the stars to write, the way he placed them, he was using them to write, he was telling you your history and your future. What you're supposed to look like. How you're supposed to journey. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that They are without excuse. Now, we still have excuse because we don't have their level of understanding. But that realm, I see that realm opening up again. You know why I say that realm is opening up? You see, that realm is actually the realm of everlasting life. What Job in his days we are handling was not Christ. It was not Christ. It was the Almighty. Almighty is the everlasting God. So they were handling actually everlasting gospel. So they have grown beyond, I'm sorry if you don't like what I'm saying. They've grown, they have stature more than Christ. Look at their talk. Even the ones they call miserable comforters. Look at their words. You know, it's the miserable comforter that was preaching, incline now thyself and be at peace. So that's what they've done, Christ. Because peace is Christ. So it's in the realm, in the season of everlasting life, that these things will begin to understand creation. We'll begin to understand the gospel in the stars. We begin to see the essence of creation. Why God made them the way he made them and kept it for a people that will rise and read. Amen. Hallelujah. That's your story. Oh. That's your story. Amen. So, Psalm 19. Let's go to Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. Not just one heaven. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmaments show his handiwork. So you can see firmament here again. Like I was talking about, there are two things. One is stars, that's the heavens. Then firmaments are works. You can't become heaven when you are not yet a man that has done works. Because there are works that has to be declared. It's those works, when you've done those works, or in the season when you are doing those works, that's what actually what they say, you're wise. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. If you're not able to do those works, you are not wise. To find those works and then do them, that's they say that the man is wise. Huh? Wisdom. Amen. 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 The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, to fear the Lord, amen, is to do his works. Let me not rush it. Where I stop, I'm sure other things will be said by other ministers. So you see two things. One is firmament. Firmament shows works. That's what makes it firmament. Now, the works of God will not be seen by the church until men who are firmament rise. Right now, when they say works, you know what they are talking about. Amen. Work is what you are doing for God. Let's work for God. Ishe Oluwa. What we are doing for God. But works is not actually what you can do for God. They asked Jesus, what shall we work? To work the works of God. I'm just saying, you need to understand that the works of God is what is not what you can do. Because man is, our challenge is what we can do. That has always been the problem of man. And that thing that we can do is a suggestion. That idea of what we can do is a suggestion from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's always an alternative. Alternative to hearing. Alternative to allowing work to be done in us. Alternative to sitting down and allowing the Lord of Sabbath to work. So what can I do? When you're walking and it is not God that is walking. You know, Jesus, while he was here, he was walking. And his walking was not miracle. His walking was not moving from Capernaum to Jerusalem. there's a work he was doing. The work he was doing was that he was cooperating with the Father to be built. He was being built to the point where he said, the work you gave to me, in John 17, the work you gave to me, I have finished it. Meaning he understood that there was a work given to him. And the work given to him was what he was seeing the Father do, and he was cooperating. May we see what God is doing. Amen. And cooperate with God. Amen. The secret is to see what God is doing. That thing that God is doing, you can read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you might not see it. It has to take the spirit of wisdom of that work to open it up for you. And the Lord sometimes could tell me, this is not far-fetched. You were talking about, you know, your relationship with Daddy, Reverend. It made me remember long time ago, I was, you know, praying. I said, Lord, I want closeness. I want to be close to you. I want to be in your embrace. You know that those desires, those were my desires. And I prayed that prayer for a while. And one day the Lord spoke to me, said, how close you will be to me is dependent on how you treat the authority that I have placed over you. I knew that this is a commandment, it's a season. Now, is the Lord showing you something? He wants to walk. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Now, many of us are not sensitive to know when he wants to walk. We don't allow him to walk because we have work that we want to do for him as alternative for what he wants to do in us. That's our sacrifice. But obedience is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. So it means what he was calling for that time was true. That was the time I understood that my relationship with him, that's the servant of God, that is not ordinary. There is something the Lord is demanding from me in that relationship. And that's also how it is. You see the Lord come in different ways. At the point, it was my relationship with my wife. He was demanding something. He was demanding something. Now, what he was doing actually was he wants to walk in you. But you have to allow him walk. I don't know if you understand me. Amen. Amen. Being made perfect. He said, though he were a son, yet. Hebrews. Though he were a son, yet. What did he do? Learned obedience by the things which he. That was suffered. He saw, the way the Lord taught it to me. Taught me that is what he allowed. He used that place where he said, suffer little children to come unto me. For such is the kingdom. He said, sometimes when you see suffer, is actually allow. Because when you allow, you suffer. Am I saying something to you? So, our Lord Jesus, learned obedience by the things which he allowed. He allowed the Father. He allowed the Father. He allowed the Father actually to walk in him. So the work he was doing while he was here was to allow the Father. There were demands of the Father. I see Johnny, there were demands. They were not one. There were demands. And demands. Can I tell you one of the demands? Can I tell you one of the demands? Judas. The Bible said he knew who would betray him. He knew. It wasn't that. If you know, you will avoid him. You would have prayed him out. Now, he spent the whole night before he chose the 12. He spent, you know, they were all following him and he was ministering to them. There were many of them. So one night he spent time praying. Praying before he chose them, he spent the whole night praying. And there, he wasn't just praying like we pray, telling God what you want. There, God was telling him the names of the guys he would choose. If it was me, these guys were ignorant fishermen. Amen. Amen. What did I say? Fishermen. I'm sure if you want to start a ministry right now, you want to go to a place like Abuja. And then the guy you want to choose are guys who are tech, oil companies. They are good for ministry. They are ministry material. And you say, oh, but in the days of Jesus, they were not there. No, they were Pharisees. He would have chosen Pharisees. They were zealous, well-schooled in the law. They understood scriptures. He would have chosen them. But the Father gave him names. How many of you know it was the Father that made him choose Peter? Everything he did, he said, I can of myself do nothing. So it means to choose Peter, it was the Father that instructed him, choose Peter, choose John, choose Andrew, choose. And then when he got to choose Judas, he's the one that will betray you. Choose him. And then he chose him. He had to love him for a work that the Father wanted to accomplish in him to be fully done. He has to love that guy. Even when the guy was despising him, he had to love him. Even when he knew what the guy was doing with the purse, he had to love him. He had to walk in love. The Father saw an opportunity to use him to walk a walk. That's what, though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things which he allowed. He allowed Judas to company with him. Because there's a work that has to be done inside of him. I'm talking about works this evening. Works that has to be done inside of him. And he could have. And now let me tell you. Many times the Lord had arranged for certain works to be done in us. And we escape it. The Lord told me sometime. He said, my works are done in the midst of my people. So while we are together, there are some people the Lord will arrange to come around you in a particular season. Is so that certain works will be done in you. You know, you can excuse them. You can run away from them. You will remain. And works will not be done in you. Seasons like that, the Lord will just bring someone that he will use to sandpaper you. You know what I mean? There's a brother we used to call sandpaper. I've told this story before in church. That's the word we use for. He sandpapered everybody. Then he sandpapered my pastor. My pastor one day looked at him. He didn't know what to do with him. He just had to love him. He went to my pastor's house. And you know, when he comes, he just feels free and just feels everybody is his friend. And then he will sit down, want to gist with pastor. And then they didn't have a place he was staying. So pastor said, okay, maybe you and your brother, because they were brethren, we are staying together, come and stay in my house. And then my pastor had his towel, which he normally hangs. He was living in a 3-bedroom flat. Had his towel that he normally hangs by the door of his own room. That's my pastor's room. He will hang his towel there. This guy took the towel, tied it on his waist, and came out to the parlor where my pastor was talking with. I was there also, and there were some other pastors that were there. He was talking with us and came out with the towel and sat down to gist with us. Amen. Charles is laughing because he knows the person. We are all together in the church. The guy can, they can use him to sandpaper us. My pastor looked at him. My pastor didn't know what to do. Just looked like, this guy, you didn't even respect. This is a towel that I and my wife uses. And you took it and tied on your waist and came to sit down. Amen. Let me tell you one more thing he did. One of our brethren too, who owned a house, you know, then asked him and one other brother to come and stay with him. Oh, Jesus. You know, we all wanted to walk in love. So Christmas was coming. Then one of the brothers, you know, just he has been planning for Christmas what he will wear, you know, bought his sneakers, bought his jeans, trousers, and a very nice t-shirt that he was going to wear on Christmas Day, kept it in his box. On 24th evening, this is our brother called Sandpaper, when nobody was around, wore all of that and went away. Can you say walk? It's amidst. This walk is going to be done amidst us. Wore it and went away. And did not return back until after 3 days. And so this brother came back, didn't know, that's the brother who owned the clothes, didn't know that anything was missing. So on Christmas morning, he finished taking his bath and wanted to wear his clothes to go to church for Christmas service. I was confused. Where are the things that I just bought? That was when he knew that our brother took it. He wore it and actually went away. Ah, he cried. He cried. He wasn't just angry. He was crying. And then came complaining to me. Because I was a youth pastor then. Came complaining to me. Complained to our pastor. Complained to every brother that was willing to listen to him. We are just consoling him. This brother didn't come back until after 3 days. Now, I think that should be 28. When he came back, he removed the sneakers, put it on top of the roof. The jeans, hung it on the fence. The t-shirt was under the mattress. If he were you, what would you do? So, amen. This my brother made up his mind, he's going to beat him. He said that's the only thing he can do. He was going to beat the guy. But the guy is also a fighter. He said he's going to beat him. So we have to be talking to him. You know, because you can only talk to him because he has not done that to you. But I knew that thing was paining him. When he was telling me, he was crying. The brother was crying. Because the thing touched him. Something he saved money and kept specially for Christmas. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying. But this is where I'm going to with all the story. That thing did a work in that brother. It did a work in him that he himself did not know. I saw later on how the Lord just led him, even in his marriage. Some of the steps he took in marriage, some people who God has not worked something in their heart will not take that step. He married a sister that was so much older than him. He knew this was God's will. And there was nothing he could do. I had to allow it. Work to be done in us is amidst us. So one of the things we do is that sometimes we escape work. When you see your brother, he's a tool for work to be done. Better accept it. What did I say? Your brother, your sister is a tool for work to be done in you. I know you say, okay, but what of him? What of him? Is he not? Are they not going to leave him? Just cooperate with God first. Let work be done in you first. You will discover that you will move on. The Lord will arrange his own. For some people, the Lord arranged his own. He has not come out of his own up till now that I'm talking to you. I know him very well. They are some peppering him. They are dealing with him. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can understand what I'm saying. That for work to be done is not far-fetched. God can arrange work to be done. There's a work that needs to be done in you with your spouse. Your spouse is also a tool for work. There's a work to be done in you with your brethren. And you know, there are brethren that are nice looking, you know, very, very nice. Especially when you meet brethren that have been worked on. You like them. You like finished products. Already made brothers. Already made sisters. But I want you to understand that there's a work to be done with your brother. There's also a work to be done being under spiritual authority. There's a work to be done. Now, all these are points of work. That's where we need to be wise. We need to pray for wisdom to identify these seasons and not run away, but cooperate with God. That was what Jesus did. He understood the season. He understood it. You think it was only Judas that troubled him? Peter did. Peter troubled him. But he had to. The Bible said, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He needed to do that so that all that the Father intends to do in him will be done. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 19. Let me just dwell there a little bit, you know, going down. He said, heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament, what does firmament do? Showeth his handiworks. It's not just that they are handiwork, they show his handiwork. So firmaments are meant to show handiwork. So men who will become firmament are men who has ability to show, meaning men who have been worked on. You've been worked on, and because you've been worked on, now what will qualify you to be a firmament is that you're worked on. What did I say? When you've been worked on, you will become wise. Another word for wise is beautiful. You become beautiful. Amen. Can I go further? Beautiful is holiness. That's how it is called in the spirit. To be beautiful is to be holy. There's no actual holiness without wisdom. This wisdom, amen. 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 That's what makes a soul. When a soul has acquired these works, the soul becomes beautiful. That's the soul that can be said to be wise. Let me just jump a little bit so that I will not keep us too long. Amen. But let's look at this Psalm 19. Let's go to verse 7. I want to show you. Now, remember, what we are talking about is the heavens that declare the glory of God, the firmament showing forth the handiwork of God. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their lines is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them had he set a tabernacle for the sun. Amen. Now let me come down, because he was talking about, you know, but when you're looking at these heavens declared, he's talking about men. Amen. He's talking about men, because now he now came down to 7 and began to say something. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect. So there, what he was trying to do is showing us how these men came to where they become. These firmaments, these stars, how they became that. There was an instrument to make them that. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, when you check there, when you're reading this place, the law, now the Lord is capital letter. Everything about there is capital letter. So he wasn't just talking about the Lord Christ. He's talking about the Lord Almighty. So it's the law of the Almighty that is perfect law of liberty. There is the law of liberty, which is Christ, the law of Christ. But there is the perfect law of liberty. That's what he was talking about here. The law of the Lord is what? What does he do? Converting the soul. So it will take the law of the Almighty to convert the soul. It's not easy to convert the soul. It's just like what you're talking about. To make the soul a child. That's a conversion. Every soul is an old man. Old man with his ways. When you hear someone say, I know what I'm doing. This is the way I like doing my things. One thing about me. I know people don't understand me, but you know, there are words we use, but we don't know where they are coming from. It's actually the old man talking. One thing with me. There is nothing that should be with you that is not in the Father. Anything that is in you that is not with the Father, you know where you got it from. Is the old man. So to convert the soul is to make that old man to become a child. It's not easy. It's only the law of the Almighty that has ability to convert the soul. Then he talked about the testimony of the Lord. He's sure. What is the testimony doing? Making wise. So you see how those people became wise. The wise, they that be wise, shall shine as the firmament. How did they become wise? Testimony. They handle testimony. Meaning testimony will make you wise. What am I saying here? Testimony will make you wise. Because testimony is spirit. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I don't have time to begin to, you know, stretch it, you know, open it up the more. But the testimony of the Lord is able to, the Bible said, is sure. It will make a simple, what you call the simple, to become wise. Making wise the simple. The next verse. The statutes of the Lord. That's the standards of the Lord. Because the Lord has standards. They are righteousness. They rejoice the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure. They enlighten the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. They are everlasting. They endure forever. The judgment of the Lord is true. And what? Righteous altogether. Now when you look at this place, you see the thing was journeying until it came to judgment. The realm of judgment. That's the realm of the true God. The realm of judgment. So you can see it's a tool they were using to walk. Now, like I said, these things are going to play out in your relationship with one another. You know, when you read these things, you know the way you quote it, you read it in your morning devotion and then you feel good after you close it and then you go do whatever you want to do. Mm-mm. The thing is going to read you now. It's going to read you. It's going to x-ray you. It's no longer going to be morning devotion thing. It's going to be life devotion. Not that morning devotion, we just do it and then we go. But now it's going to be life. It's going to be life devotion. Meaning it's going to be with you throughout the day. There are going to be arranging points where work will be done. May we be wise. May we see what he is doing. Jesus said, my father worketh hitherto, I walk. Meaning he was seeing what the father was doing and he was also cooperating. May your soul do the right labor. Labor unto life everlasting. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. He said, by this, moreover, by them is thy servant, what? One. Are you seeing it? To win us from the earth is by this. Because being one is to be redeemed, to be saved. By this is thy servant one. You can't be one from the earth without these works. And in keeping them is what? Great. What is great reward? I'm not hearing you. What is great reward? I'm not hearing you. What is great reward? So if eternal life is great reward, then what does it mean to be one? That's salvation, everlasting life. By this is your, because all those things we are the Lord, measuring out those things to accomplish a work in us. By this we will be saved. And in keeping them, we will come to be qualified for to receive eternal life. So like I mentioned, two things. One, firmament. Then stars. Stars have ability to turn men. That's the thing about star. One, the firmament can shine, can show handiworks so that people can see what the works of God is. But that's not the only allocation we have in Christ. Our Lord, that's allocation we have in everlasting life. We're also supposed to be stars. Stars are men who have acquired the ability to turn men to righteousness. When such men arises, the earth will learn righteousness. And God is about to raise many of them. That's the agenda of heaven. They want to raise many stars. Many stars. True stars. That's what they want to do. Now in raising these stars, is also the falling of stars. Meaning, if these stars does not rise, stars won't fall. Daddy, when he was teaching during the preparation, he said there are no vacuum. There are no vacuum in the realm of the spirit. God won't fall those stars when there are no people to take the place. So where they are occupying in the realm of the spirit are actually places, your abode, where you're supposed to stay. That's what they are occupying. But the Lord won't remove them. Michael will not arise to fight to throw them down when there are no people to ascend to those places. But hear the word of the Lord. This is the season for the rising of stars. Like I said, there shall arise a new army. They will learn the spirit. They will learn to walk in the spirit. They will learn to join forces with angels. Because Michael himself will stand to fight to throw them down. But there must be men who will join forces. Men who will join forces are men who will do the righteousness that is required. There are certain conversations that when you have exuded them, some stars will be disqualified from staying where they are. There are some commandments you will do. They will show it to you. No, they will show it to you. There's a general one you read in the scripture, but they're going to meet you and show you some commandments. That commandment, it might be difficult, but it's tied to a star falling. And you don't know what that star has prevented in your life. You don't know what he has even prevented in the life of many. Oh, if you understand, then you will rise and obey. Because they will come to you and they will demand certain obedience from you. Just understand that obedience is not about you. It's tied to a star. Now, let me show you why it is like that. Stars, these fallen stars, are the princes of disobedience. Every disobedience upon the face of the earth is actually monitored by them. Huh? The Bible calls them the spirits that worketh in the children of disobedience. So, they are spirits. Where are they working? In the children of disobedience. So, every disobedience to righteousness, every disobedience to the law of God, there's a spirit that is in charge, that is supervising it. But that spirit has to fall. So, and this is how God does it. They won't just go and tell the spirit, leave. It's time for you to leave. No, they will come and give you commandment. Listen to me. That's how it's done. They'll come. They'll wait for you as you're growing. You will grow. You will do Christ. You'll come up to the place where you can do everlasting work. Then they will come to you and then give you a commandment. That commandment will look like, oh, what are they demanding from me? But I want to show you something. They actually want to fall a star. And they know that you've come of age to be exposed to the falling of this star. And what they will do is actually measure out to you. Measure out to you. You know, we sing it in a song. Yes, sir. You measure unto me. You don't know what you're singing. They'll measure it, oh. When they measure it, obey it, oh. They will measure unto you a commandment. But I want you to be wise. Know that every commandment is a tool for falling a star. Every step you take in obedience to the commandment, every step you take here is having a ripple effect in the air. Every obedience you do is hitting them. That's how they are sustained. And that is why they will negotiate with you not to obey that commandment. But God will make us wise. We will see. So that when commandments are coming, we will think beyond ourselves. You will think beyond, how does it benefit me? Everything must not benefit you. You will think beyond yourself and you will obey. Now, let me ask you a question. Imagine if our Lord Jesus didn't obey the Father. Where would we have been? Okay, you say it's Jesus. That's why. Imagine a man at 75 that was asked to leave. I'm not yet 75. That's not the time you tell a man to begin life. But that was when they told him to begin a life of obedience, journey of obedience. Now, the whole of mankind's destiny was hinging on this person's obedience. The Bible said he went not knowing where he was going to. God has faith. And God kept commanding him and kept commanding him and kept commanding him until he came to the point where he could do that last obedience that brought the ram on the ticket. That obedience he did there is actually what procured our Lord Jesus to be fathered by him. When Jesus was saying, I beheld a star fall like lightning, it's going to be by obedience of some. Meaning some will obey. Your obedience actually is, because when you begin to obey the things that are written in the book, because there are books that are, when you begin to obey the commandments that are written in the book that will make you heavenly, stars that are there are ready to fall. My prayer for us is that after this season, after this, conference, amen. Are you ready? Our level of obedience will increase. We will be more discerning. We'll be more wise. We'll desire obedience. You know, it's easy to say, become a firmament, and everybody likes to shine. Everybody likes to be a star. But there's a work attached to it. There's obedience that is demanded. But I'm saying after this meeting, your level of obedience will increase. Your level of discernment to know that this is an arrangement by heaven for me to obey certain commandment that will make a star to fall, that will weaken a star and bring that star down. That prophecy, the Lord said, I behold Satan fall like lightning. That prophecy must be fulfilled in your life. And in my life too. In all our lives. Satan will fall. He doesn't like to hear this kind of things. But that's prophecy. Amen. He can't be there forever. Amen. He can't be there forever. He's already old. The Bible called him old dragon. The old serpent, the dragon, the old serpent. He's already old. He's ready to fall. And his falling is imminent as we obey God. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Help us, O Lord. We ask for your help. This is indeed a crucial season. It's a season that you're demanding that we heed to the call of heaven. You said, as you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation in the day of temptation. Lord, help us in this season. Help us not to refuse him that speaketh from heaven. Because he that speaketh from heaven is giving us heavenly things. Things that is required for us to be written up to heaven. Help us, our Father. Help us, our Father. Help us, our Father. We look up to you for help. We can't help ourselves. We look up to you for help. Help us.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.